Don't we all wish it would rain down? We just talked about how the drought conditions in Wisconsin are affecting farmers and corn production. Now, how our lawns and gardens are faring and how to keep our plants, trees, and grass alive. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, July 17th. So how are you dealing with the drought at home? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Karen Johansson, co-owner of Johansson's Greenhouses, a family-owned business in Madison. And in the spirit of full disclosure, it's where I picked up the geraniums that are struggling in my front porch planter right now. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Yeah, a lot of things are struggling this year. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have been watering these geraniums, and I know from past year's experience that they usually get a whole lot bigger and more beautiful than they are now. They're just just itty bitty and struggling. And am I just not watering them enough, or is this the best they can do, you think?
But it doesn't necessarily mean you're watering incorrectly at all. A lot of plants just do not like this continued heat, like the begonias. I usually have beautiful nonstop begonias, and they're suffering. So it's the heat as much as you're watering. It's just a tough year. Now, there are a few things that are thriving. Lantana loves it.
So,
we just never know, you know, we don't have a crystal ball if it's going to be hot or dry or cool to know what to plant always.
Yeah, this is the year I finally decided earlier this spring to replace a spot in my lawn where a tree had died some years ago. Mm-hmm. And I bought a small Juneberry or serviceberry tree. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy, and I planted it and I was tending to it. And now I'm trying to keep it alive, but I'm not sure I can. Its leaves are starting to turn yellow and curl. Not all of them, but a few of them. Is there any hope?
Oh, absolutely. But you need to get that watered a lot more. For trees and shrubs, we're getting all these questions. What's the exact formula? How much? When? There is no exact formula to water your lawn or your trees or your shrubs. There's so many different variables as far as how hot is it, what's the humidity, what kind of soil you have. But if your shrub is obviously crying for water, you're not watering it enough. What I would recommend is take a slow-running hose and set it at the base of the shrub. And when I say slow-running, I mean, you know, have the water come out about the size of your thumb. And I would say minimum half hour. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, even better yet, if you got like a little sprinkler, not a big oscillating sprinkler, but a cute little sprinkler that just kind of goes in a small area, you know, set the sprinkler on there and really soak it. And you could do that on new plantings in the sun. If I was going to plant a new shrub this week, I'd probably water it every single day and soak it. And so you need to do that till you get it back around. And then you can go back to maybe every other day, twice a week. But in this heat, you really need to soak it. And I'm seeing a lot of nursery stock, trees, shrubs, even established things that are dying. People are not watering heavy enough when they're watering.
So even the established arborvita in my backyard or the lilacs that mm-hmm. are there, all those I should be slow running hose for a half hour or so?
Well, here's the deal. I'm getting asked that question all day long, and kind of like, you know how you go to the dentist and he's got a sign up there that says, floss only the teeth you want to keep? I'm saying water the plants you want to keep alive, literally. First of all, look in your landscape, and anything that's drooping, that gets priority. And things that are not drooping at this point, yes, I would water them. The thing about evergreens are sometimes they don't droop and warn us and drop a few leaves. They just crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
So soaker hoses, slow-running hoses, the only disadvantage to those are you don't always know how much water you're putting on, but really soak heavily. Watch that if you're having a runoff, you can tell because your grass will get green there, you know, so you soaked it a little too heavy at once. So you want the water to stay where you want it, right at the base. But minimum half-hour slow-running hose. I've got some big trees that are crying for water, and I'm talking 2, 3, 4 hours with a slow-running hose that I'm moving. Or even on some of my larger trees where I've got a span that's 6-foot diameter, I've got this cute little sprinkler that, you know, has a 6-foot diameter. I can set it, and I put that on for 3-4 hours at first to put 3-4 inches. You know, 1 inch isn't going to do a tree of water. That will be fine for a lawn, but for a tree that we're playing catch-up, I'd say 3 or 4 inches of water at first, and then maybe, you know, 1 inch or 2 a week. And the other thing is it's not as important how much you water, it's when you're watering and how you're watering.
You shouldn't do it in the middle of the hot summer day.
Yeah, not only does it waste water, you could probably put 1 inch down on your lawn on a hot summer day, and you're not getting any of it in the ground. So typically, we used to always say water in the morning as opposed to the evening because of disease problems. Right now, we're in survival mode, and water is precious, and we're in a drought. So I would be saying don't water when the sun's out, period.
So, in other words, early morning or evening.
Yeah, so 5 in the morning, set your sprinkler, or after 8, 9 at night. We don't want to waste water, and that is when the water is going to go to the roots and when you need it.
Well, I heard you, Karen, being interviewed on another venue over the weekend, and you were very concerned that that my dormant lawn is soon going to be, or maybe already is, a dead lawn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I spent a lot of time speaking to Tom Schwab over at the UW Turf Lab, and in 1988, which I remember well because it was the first year I was in my house and we did all this new landscaping, in 1988, we had 60 days of drought, and it was not as hot, and we had a lot of dieback on lawns. I don't know. I think right now we're on day, like, 52, and it's been a lot hotter, and it's been a lot windier. We don't know how long this is going to last either. Typically, bluegrass, on average, will live 60 to 75 days without water. Well, we're getting close to that cutoff point. So, yes, I think if you don't water your lawn, we're going to lose a lot of lawns. Now, we're not talking about making it green or bringing it out of dormancy. All we want to do is rehydrate the crowns. So,
and that's just sort of like the root right on the surface.
Right. Yeah, the leaves are going to stay dead, and that's fine. So, again, we're getting all this how much, when, and it all depends on, you know, do you have sun? Is your lawn in the shade? Is it on a slope? But Tom and I came up with just a general formula, just a guideline. If you haven't watered your lawn at all, and it's just toasty brown, I would put 1 inch of rain down, of water down. And to know that you're putting 1 inch, you need to get a rain gauge, literally. They're cheap. You know, they're $5, $10. They're easy. Otherwise, you could take a pie pan with straight sides and put that underneath your sprinkler and then measure it with a ruler. But a rain gauge is a lot simpler. So 1 inch at first, and then a 1/2 inch every 2 weeks. Now, that's a guideline. If you're in the shade, you could get by with less. If you're in the hot sun on a slope, you might want to go more. And I'm talking to do that at, again, 5 in the morning or after 8, 9 at night. And for a typical oscillating sprinkler that goes back and forth for the whole way, that takes 2 hours to put 1 inch down.
So I'm going to, I guess I could, when I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I could set out the sprinkler.
Yeah, that's why I was doing that last night. I have a water timer. It's wonderful. It'll go for 2 hours. So I get my sprinkler all set, and then if I wake up in the middle of the night, I run down and just turn the hose on. And then when I get up at 5, you know, I've already set my sprinkler 3 times since last night at 9 o'clock.
Well, I hope my neighbors understand what I'm doing out there on the lawn, because I think that I am, I think that my lawn, especially the front yard, looks like it, it's in big trouble.
And it's not too late. And so, but we don't want to waste the water. When you're watering, make sure it's not on the sidewalk, it's not on the street. Use it smart. But we're going to be using a lot more water next summer if we have to reestablish our lawns, because to reseed and replant, that takes a lot of water. So I think save our lawns now.
We are talking with Karen Johansson, co-owner of Johansson's Greenhouses, a family-owned business in Madison, about how to keep our our yards alive, our lawns, our trees and shrubs, our flowers, talking about watering guidelines, and we're welcoming your questions. How are your flowers doing or other plants? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We welcome your questions about the best way to care for your yard in a drought, and Karen will answer your lawn care questions too. It's going to be mostly sunny and hot. There is a heat advisory for southern Wisconsin, a chance of rain in the north. Highs today between 78 in northern Wisconsin to another 100-degree day in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking with journalist John Nichols, who says that the fact that the United States Olympic uniforms are made in China should prompt lawmakers to reexamine our trade policies. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, your questions for Karen Johansson, co-owner of Johansson's Greenhouses, about caring for our lawns, our gardens during this drought. And let's take as many calls as we can. Our lines are busy. Mary in Racine joins us. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. I just have a recommendation other than letting your hose run on your bushes and shrubs and things. If you have a root feeder, you connect it to your hose, you put it down in the ground and water your plants and not the plants, but your trees and bushes, and it works wonderful. They're for putting fertilizers and things into the ground, but they work wonderful for just watering your plants and bushes that way. Just a suggestion, and I'm sorry, but I have to go. I have to go play golf.
Well,
I'll talk to you again.
Enjoy your golf game, Mary. Thanks for that suggestion. What about a root feeder for watering?
Root feeders are great. They've been around for years. One thing about them is I wouldn't push it all the way down in. Like, they're like 2 feet long. I would only put it in about 6 inches. We used to think that the roots of the trees were way down, and they are. But most of our feeder roots, especially in this time of drought, a lot of them are at the surface. So the root feeder is fine, but I wouldn't stuff it all the way down in deep, definitely. But they're great.
Yeah, so the root feeder is actually for putting fertilizer in, but she's saying go ahead and
you can water. Well, yeah. What it is it's just a long, it's like a 2 feet mm-hmm. metal tube with a hole at the bottom of it, and then you hook the top of it to the sprinkler, so
I
you
see.
Can shove it all the way down in, like 2 feet deep, or, you know, a little bit less, yes, and you can put fertilizer in there, and that works really well. And, yeah, a lot of people love them.
Yeah, should we be worrying about fertilizer and that kind of thing during this this period?
For your lawn, unless it looks like a golf course, no fertilizer, no humidity, no herbicide. I mean, just leave it alone. If your lawn is in this dormant state, in this survival state, stay off of it. Don't be playing on it. Don't mow it. No traffic. We just need to let it rest. If you're watering, sure, you can go ahead and fertilize. As far as your trees and shrubs and you're watering heavily, sure,
mm-hmm.
you can fertilize them. I mean, by once, they're not heavy feeders, and we don't want to fertilize our trees and shrubs and our perennials much after the middle of August, so certainly you can put some fertilizer down, but only if you've been watering very heavily because you don't want to burn anything.
Our next caller is Michael in Middleton. Hello, Michael.
Oh, hi. I don't have grass. I have vinca. We have it's a small lot, mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering, it's like, what do you do with vinca during a drought?
I would water it, and I would probably put an inch down, inch of water about once a week. I've had a lot of customers say, oh, I'm watering my garden every day. And I'm like, if you're watering your tomatoes every day, you're either not watering correctly or they're rotting. You should be able to put an inch of water down about once a week on your perennials, your tomatoes, unless they're drooping in between. Then go ahead and water twice a week. But definitely, I would get sprinkle out there and water them.
I have tomatoes in a pot, and I do water those every
That's
day.
That's an everyday. We're talking ground, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if something's drooping, you need to water more often. Yes, planters, you need to water every day. And one thing you might want to consider next year when you plant your planters, there are soil mixes that have water-holding polymers in them, and that helps. I've had hanging baskets for years that I've had to water once or twice a day in this kind of heat. I use this new container mix that we got this spring. Actually, we had it last year. I'm watering every other day, which to me is amazing. So your soil makes a big difference. The size of the container makes a big difference. But, yeah, absolutely, containers, we're watering them probably every day.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
And that you need to fertilize a lot.
Yeah. All right. Becky in Verona is with us now. Hello, Becky.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. This has been such an awful summer. I have a lawn care service that comes regularly and does stuff with my lawn, and I haven't watered it all, and it is toasty brown. Mm-hmm. Should I cancel them for the rest of the summer, or do they really need to come and put stuff on my grass? I'm really just not sure.
That's a really good question. Now, for our business, we're not recommending our customers apply any of the lawn care products that we are selling, with the exception of you could put Mill Organite down because that just sits there until it needs it, unless you're watering. Now, as far as your lawn care company, I would defer to them because I don't know exactly what they're applying. But as far as the fertilizers and herbicides that we're selling at our garden center, we're saying no.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Becky. Are the hostas, which I thought were so hardy that I don't remember watering hostas ever before. I am now, but they've already, some of them have kind of withered up. Are they dead? Is that?
Well, that's the big question. Are your perennials dormant or are they dead?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Let's hope they're dormant. And yeah, I've lived in my house 25 years. I've never watered this whirl of hosta. Last night, there were yellow and droopy, and so I watered them. So, yes, when in doubt, water right now, soak them very, very well, and then let's see what the weather does, and maybe soak them again in a week and soak them again in another week if we keep having this hot weather.
We have about 5 more minutes with Karen Johansson, co-owner of Johansson's Greenhouses, here to answer your questions about keeping your plants and flowers and lawn alive during this drought that much of the southern half of Wisconsin is experiencing. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our next caller is Jim in Woodstock. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hello there, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I got a real good idea. I was out in South Beloit a week or two ago at St. Peter's Church with helping a friend of mine, and I went to McDonald's over there in the city of Beloit, and the public service guys are out there with tanker trucks, and all the trees, they said they're stressed out. They have 3,000 trees. They're worried about them dying. They were using recycle bins, those big square plastic with the holes in the bottom. They were filling them up with tanker trucks. Fill up to the brim. Those things hold probably 5 to 8 gallons apiece, and it wasn't just all running off. It was soaking into the ground because it was soaking out through the holes in the bottom. I thought that was a really great idea. So that's something somebody might want to think about. If you don't have a soaker hose or whatever, so that's something to consider.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out what. Wait a minute, Jim. A recycle bin that holds.
Yeah, the recycle bins. When you put the trash out and you put your 2-liter bottles, your empty milk. Jugs and all that kind of stuff, the plastic, you know, the recycle bins that the scavenger people give you. Most of them are square, large containers. They're probably as big as maybe the volume of 2 milk crates, maybe larger.
Yeah, the smaller ones. I'm thinking of the ones we have in Madison are humongous.
No, not the real big ones, the carts. I'm talking about the small ones that you use for recycling, not the trash carts, but the recycle bins that have holes in the bottoms of them.
I get it. Yeah, well, that makes some sense. So then it just kind of drains into the soil slowly, Karen.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And there's also bags. We don't have them at our store, but you can find them, and they are bags that you hook at the bottom of the tree, and exactly, you fill them up, and it seeps very slowly. And they're around. We just don't have them right now. And because we don't sell nursery stock. But, yes, excellent idea. You could even take a 5-gallon bucket, poke some holes in the bottom of it, fill that up a couple times. Excellent idea.
Thank you very much, Jim. Jan in Monticello. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Of all the years, I have a lawn to start. I have a new house, and so it was sown on May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have grass, but, of course, I'm watering and the weeds are coming. Mm-hmm. I can't use chemical weed control, so I've been hand-pulling them. Do you have any other suggestions?
Well, you certainly can use herbicide unless you don't want to use any herbicide on your lawn ever, and I can certainly respect that. But if you've been watering, you certainly can apply weed killer. Just don't pick a 100-degree day to do it.
Okay. What I've got is a fertilizer and weed control, a soil or yeah, fertilizer and weed control together.
Mm-hmm.
And you put it on, you know, it's dry. So would that be okay?
Yeah, but I would wait till we get out of this heat and make sure you water very, very thoroughly before you put it on. And then the fertilizer needs to be watered in. The herbicide needs to sit on there for a day. So in other words, water really thoroughly before you put it on. Wait 24 hours so the herbicide can get into the weeds, and then water again to get the fertilizer watered down. But I would wait until our temperatures are below 90.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you could take a little squirt bottle of herbicide and just squirt your weeds and don't fertilize, and you'd be fine, because as long as you're only getting it on the weeds. Make sure you read all the directions on any product you're using and follow them. But you should be fine, yeah. If you're watering, just pick a cooler day.
Jan, thanks for the call. And we're almost out of time, Karen. What is with those weeds? Isn't that something? I have this brown lawn and some pretty green weeds in it.
Well, that's the thing. There's always a plant that's going to survive somewhere. And but for most people, if you're not watering like this woman a lot, just don't put any herbicide on. Just leave it alone and don't even mow. And if you are going to mow, like for this woman that's watering, set your mower blade very, very high, like at 3 inches, because mowing is very stressful for the lawn.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for the advice. I'm hopeful that I might be able to save some of my trees and shrubs and plants. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you. And just one last thing. If you're going to water, please water smart. Don't waste our water.
Right. In the dark. Karen Johansson, co-owner of Johansson's Greenhouses. This is the Ideas Network.